This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
Thank you for listening. Happy Labor Day. This is episode 161 of the supposed to be number one technology podcast on SoundCloud this week, but it's not. And there's a conspiracy abound, and we're going to find out.
It's because I said I hate Stranger Things.
That's why. This is the IT and the D Show post-Labor Day edition. We have Victoria here from Hatch Detroit and two of the finalists. Should be a fun show. Dave, you may fire when ready.
IT and the D presents Real Detroit Heroes.
Real Detroit Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Self-Appointed City Savior.
Mr. Self-Appointed City Savior.
You've taken it upon yourself to be the person who gets to say what's right, but more usually, what's wrong with everyone and everything in the city of Detroit.
You're not the boss of me.
And so you roam around the city like the world's lamest superhero, Captain Counts-A-Lot, in order to run home and tell Facebook of your latest adventures and finding that you're certain will shake people to their very core.
Saw too many white folks.
It doesn't matter if it's a microbrewery opening, a youth hockey game, or even a family's home video. You're right there on the scene to count and count and count.
My friends will work as extras.
But not to actually say anything or speak up. No, you know that your powerful message can only have its maximum impact by being delivered on your Facebook wall, where all your friends who think just like you will give you all the likes you can handle.
It's called an echo chamber.
So here's to you, Mr. Self-Appointed City Savior. Without your efforts, the city might actually be able to move past its racial divisiveness and deep-seated fear everyone has for each other. But Captain Counts-A-Lot must fulfill his destiny.
Mr. Self-Appointed City Savior.
Real Detroit Heroes.
Real Detroit Heroes.
ITinthed.com.
The program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Mugumbu Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly. Come on.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT in the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT in the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
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 Nerds! What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big.
How big?
It's way too big.
I can get it all the way in.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
But it's delicious.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. The tough guy. Oh!
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this. Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. This is episode 161 of the one and only IT and the D Show, and we are recording live here in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek. Nuri is on location. Are we doing find out where Nuri is, or are we just telling everyone where he is?
Where the F is Nuri?
Yeah, if you can guess where Nuri is, if you don't know, text it or tweet it to hashtag IT and the D, and the winner will get a bag of chips and a beer from the studio. We have
Did we get his official answer? I think we were looking for three pieces of information from him. We were looking for what does a beer cost, what does a glass of good scotch cost, and what does a steak cost.
He just sent us what a pitcher of like watermelon
margaritas looks
like. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Don't forget, mark your calendars. September 15th, the granddaddy of them all, the Pinksville Party. We're going to be at the Majestic in Midtown right across from Hopcat. We've been there before. If you've been there, if it's your first time, definitely read the FAQs. It is the job fair to end all job fairs. We will be there from 5 o'clock until question mark. And since Nuri's going to be out of the country, we need a backup DJ. So, Dave, I hope you're working on that. And find everything you need to know.
Sure. Yeah, everything all over that, yeah.
Yeah, find everything you need to know about us, itinthed.com. We have an awesome segment lineup. We have the finalists from the Hatch Detroit contest. Victoria is in the house from Hatch. Then we have Genevieve here from Metaphysical. And we have Taylor here from Birdbee. Appreciate them hanging out. But before we move any further, we'd like to thank our sponsor for this show. If you are looking for a professional vector design app, do us a favor and take a look at Autodesk Graphic. Graphic's a full-featured app making icons, illustrations, UI, UX design, and everything else you'd expect in a professional vector design app. Open, edit, and save raster or vector images, layered Photoshop or Illustrator files, CSS, SVG, PDF, all your favorite acronyms, or just about any other file format you can think of. You can open an AI file and export it to clean CSS code or web-ready SVG with just a few clicks. It's available on Mac, your phone, or even your iPad, so you can design without compromise anywhere you go. This iPad app is not a companion app for the desktop version. It is a fully featured design software the pros use to hand-draw vector illustrations, create gorgeous logos, or mock up websites on the fly. If you have iPad Pro, Apple Pencil, it's the vector design app you've been looking for to make your iPad Pro the device for your design work you normally leave to your desktop. That's cool.
It is, actually.
Yeah. It's the last 2D design app you'll ever need, and it's available for the price of a few decent stock photos. Visit graphic.com, that's G-R-A-P-H-I-C, to learn more about Autodesk Graphic, or check it out in the App Store, Autodesk Graphic.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So two more things before we get. We did have the resume workshop last week with Aero Strategies. They're one of our sponsors for our Pink Slip Party next week. They were gracious enough to go ahead and do a resume thing for folks 2 weeks in advance of the Pink Slip Party. Not necessarily our typical event, just because it was very speaker heavy and that sort of thing. But we did see a lot of feedback that came back that said people liked it, they enjoyed it, they got a lot out of it. Cool. That's all we can ever ask. So happy it went the way it did.
Yeah. No, it's one of those, like, thank you, Errol, for not selling people stuff, because usually we get these resume workshops and they say, oh, yeah, your resume sucks no matter how
good
or bad it is. Give us
$300 to rewrite it.
Yeah, exactly. These guys are just doing it because they want to make you look good so they can put you in front of their clients. So, yeah.
And then we did drop out. October 6th is going to be our next podcaster meetup. We've done two so far. We got asked to do another one. So October 6th, down at Activate Gaming, home of our old studio. So if you're a podcaster, want to be a podcaster, interested in podcasting, just want to hang out and have a few drinks, show up. It's Thursday, October 6th. We'll be down at Activate Gaming. Should be fun.
Randy just called me out on Twitter because to ask if I even know what SVG is from the Autodesk read. No, Randy, I don't. Go, continue, though.
See, I was going to let that slide. That's how good of a person I am. We would be remiss if we did not start out with what the week's probably top story is, which is farewell, ITT Tech.
What am I going to watch at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I'm watching Maury Povich besides the ITT Tech commercials?
Yeah, all gone. The Department of Education came down and basically realized everything that we've been saying about them for the last 10 years. They don't really do much, not really worth it, and smacked them around. And so ITT came out and said, yeah, we're not doing anything anymore. We've stopped enrollment and no more classes. Bye-bye.
Yeah, because they cut federal – they wouldn't allow federal aid to fund their programs.
Right.
Someone told me that on their commercials there's like huge – or like – I'm sorry – like on the bottom, there's like something that says like, "Hey, if you want to transfer,
you can't.
You can't. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, credits don't transfer. They're not. Yeah, they're not really an accredited university.
But it was almost like as bad as University of Phoenix, where like you'd come out of that thing like 30, 40 G's in the hole with a. And, you know, I was reading they had this top story on Reddit today. I was reading and they're like, yep, I got that toilet paper of a degree because it's really all it's worth. And it's probably toilet paper actual is probably worth more than this degree.
More useful. Yeah.
Right. Like employers laugh like, oh, yeah, what do you got a degree in? Oh, yeah, from ITT Tech. Like, yeah, really? Really?
Yeah, it's the equivalent of the old MCSE, the Microsoft Certified Solitaire Expert, or as I like to call it, it was the must call someone else degree. Yeah.
But I mean, is anyone – but like I read that like, the 40,000 like enrollees?
Yeah.
Like you, them in University of Phoenix, like how does that even still – is a thing? I don't get it anyway.
It's not anymore.
Good riddance.
That's the point. Yeah.
But like what do they have, 70 locations nationwide, 5 in Detroit?
Yep.
All empty buildings now.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, bye.
I'm waiting for what the big scam is that hasn't hit the news yet, because I feel like there should have been a bigger smoke screen that happened other than the Colin Kaepernick crap, because they announced that the U.S. Army apparently can't account for $6.5 trillion.
30% of the GDP.
And that's with all the $20,000 hammers. That's with the line item that says, you know, Stargate project, couple of million.
Is the military budget even that big?
6.5.
I know it was like
– it was last year and this year, because apparently what they were doing is making one-time adjustments to like force everything to balance. And the GAO came back and said, no, you really can't do that. And so, yeah, they realized that they have $6.5 trillion that they can't account for.
You know, I could see like stealing like a couple million and like, you know, buying a place in Aspen or something. But well, like,
unlike the meme that was floating around last year, this actually really is like, I think it was like $28,000 or $29,000 for every person over the age of 18 in the United States.
But like, what if you steal like $2 trillion? What do you do? Like, what's your plans? If I want to buy Bora Bora? Like, what do you do?
Maybe it's a lot of people that were trying to buy condos in Aspen.
It's like Mr. Deeds and the whole town is driving new Corvettes, you know, like, like, what do you do?
Well, you heard all the stories about like, you know, pallets of cash, you know, going over to Iraq and Afghanistan and that kind of stuff, because it was, you know, that's how they would like bribe people and feed the local, you know, and get things done. Fine, but you would think there would be a record of that somewhere, that, hey, sent pallet of cash to Iraq that was this much money. Yeah, no, just $6.5 trillion. That's gone.
Yeah.
And yet people are mad because a guy won't stand during the national anthem.
Well, that hit it. It's media for you.
I know.
You deflect. Look over there.
Look, Elvis. Yeah.
Hey, guy, look over there.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, right. Buddy.
But my you know what? It's getting – my life's starting to get better. My life is getting better.
It could get better.
And it's getting – no, it's already approved. My house has been approved and the date's been set. Meijer is home delivering.
The one by your house is actually on the list? I meant to look closer and I forgot.
Yep. So now I can get my big stuff shipped by Amazon, or now, hell, I can buy everything at Meijer. And for a low, low cost of $99 per year, which is what I pay for Prime, they will bring me my shit to my house.
We really support independent retail.
Yeah, but they're
at Detroit. So Meijer and Amazon is not what we
Meijer's from Grand Rapids. They're homegrown. They're Michigan. We like the Meijer.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Well, who else? Who's delivering to my home?
I will.
We could deliver women's clothing to your home.
I want six cases of PBR and two boxes of ham.
Yeah, you can box pay someone to do that.
Yeah, so I mean, it is closer to your dream of not having to actually interact with human
drone
beings.
Deliver my pizza.
That's right. Bring me, you know, have the Google driven car that has no human being in it that brings my stuff.
Yeah.
That I can swipe my credit card on.
The Domino's guys are all real cool. I haven't met one of them that's a jerk.
Oh, yeah, the Domino's guys here are phenomenal. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't like if you want to do a drone and put like a little speaker and go, "Hey, Bob," like I'm okay with that. Like I need a little bit of interaction. But I wonder how it's going to take, because what I found out today, and Darshan brought it up to me, was that the drivers, they're not Meijer employee. They're actually like Uber employees.
Yep, they're subs, yeah.
The company, yeah. So like, and they claim you can make 15 to 25 bucks an hour, but like how many grocery deliveries do you think they're going to do within like a 5-mile radius?
I'm
like,
pretty sure they're going to kill at your house every time there's a party.
No, but I can see like I no, because I had to go to Meijer for the party on Sunday, and it's a pain in the butt, and I hate it.
Exactly.
And it's like 2 hours out of my life I'll never get back, and now I get to have it back because someone else is going to do that crap for
right
me.
Although here's the thing, like we had kind of touched on this, like are you going to trust their packing person's judgment when it comes to like fruit and stuff?
No, because I want to handle my own melons, thank you. I'm just saying.
You can handle your melons all you want to, I suppose. That's your thing. More power.
No, but like there's always that one nasty thing of grapes, and like does Meijer tell him
what you're gonna get?
Does Meijer tell him you take that one first? You know, the old milk on the top, like you take that one first so I can't dig through, and like, you know, the carton of eggs is one egg broke. And you're like, screw it, and you just throw that one away. You know.
But speaking of handling melons, I guess it's a good segue. Pam Anderson came out this week in order to tell everybody that they should stop watching porn.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Pam.
Hers or
Pam
or in general?
No, in general.
Oh.
No, like all of it.
Oh.
That it's bad.
Oh.
Pam Anderson, the reason many of us got internet connections in the first place. Pam Anderson, you know, the first celebrity sex tape that, you know, broke the internet before there was an internet. Would like everyone to stop watching porn.
It's because she didn't make any money on the
that would be my guess.
Right?
Yeah. I'm sure there's a self-serving
the royalties from Borat just aren't as big as they used to be.
Right.
What'd you say earlier? It's like Keith Richards doing PSAs for
drugs. Don't do drugs.
Right.
Yeah. We can't do any more, Keith. You did them all.
Robin Williams, when he was alive, like, just don't do cocaine. Like, wait, what?
Right.
Sure, Robin. We believe you.
Let's see. What else have we got?
No, my favorite one was the big news that everyone's all because UFO world was a buzz because the SETI
detected a huge strong signal from space.
Right,
and it was amazing.
Right, and it could be another planet. It's coming from a sun, and they're
with habitable planets around it.
They're way more advanced than we could ever be. But come to find out, it's from here.
It was from here. Just bounced around the atmosphere and hit the radio telescope.
It's awesome. Bonanza reruns, but that's why nobody comes here, is because we're blasting out like old TV shows. Like, there's just no way we're going to see those crazy assholes.
Like, why don't people? We are the Jehovah's Witnesses of the internet. We really, really are. We spend so much
internet?
Time. We are of the universe, because we just beam signals out indiscriminately, basically going, "Hi, could we talk to you for a moment? Hi, could we talk to you for a moment? Have you heard the good word? You're not alone. Hi, could we talk to you?" That no one, dude. If I would close the door.
Well, aren't they blasting out like I Love Lucy reruns and like just like crap like old music?
Yeah, but like those signals dissipate over time, and that, but like you look at the stuff that's in like Voyager where they put the gold record in and all that stuff, like the stuff that we're truly beaming out in an attempt to, like, not the accidental crap that winds up bouncing around the universe, but like the stuff we're truly beaming out, it's basically the equivalent of random door knocks and hey, can we talk to you for just a moment?
One of my other favorite stories this week, there was apparently a legendary Apple engineer who was kind of like a god in like the Steve Jobs development and growth.
Yeah, J.K. Scheinberg, yeah.
Right. And he was basically like and he retired probably with a few hundred million dollars.
Yeah.
And he was bored. And so he's like, you know, it'd be a fun job. Like, what does everybody want to do when they retire? Go be a bartender at a dive bar.
Right.
But he decides to apply for the Apple Bar. Right, whatever their campus bar or whatever the heck the guys all drink, and apparently he was declined.
Well, no, it was one of the genius bars in the store.
Oh, okay. I thought it was on campus.
Yeah, it was one of the genius bars. That's what they call them. It's the genius bars in the store. He applied for, so he was basically going to be tech support. Like, so the guy that actually wrote all the code was going to get a job being tech support guy. And they turned him down because he's 54.
And he didn't pay. Yeah,
because that would suck, having the guy that actually wrote
all of it
being able to do tech support.
Can he put on skinny jeans maybe and fit in? Or?
Maybe that was the problem. He didn't walk in wearing a scarf.
Right.
Big, thick hipster glasses.
And look down on you if you have, like, you know, you only have the iPhone 5. You're a turd.
Yeah.
You know. You're drinking Panera coffee on this loser.
One of our favorite topics always. College came out and said that they were starting a class on they're going to start offering a class on adulting because they noticed such a dramatic rise in the number of students that were seeking crisis counseling appointments because they didn't know how to live on their own. They didn't know how to interact with other people. They didn't know how to deal with life.
You know, that's the thing that always gets me. You know, being a – I like reading Reddit. Sometimes I hate reading Reddit, but most of the times I think it's fun. And the one biggest complaint from, like, the 24 to, like, 21 to 25-year-old crowd is, like, school didn't prepare me for life, and I don't know how to do taxes and job hunting. And, like, I don't – and I'm just sitting there going, like, Google doesn't exist? Like, when I don't know how to do something, I Google.
I go to YouTube. Yeah,
YouTube. Like,
I have to interrupt.
Please do.
Because Google didn't exist when you were at
No.
the age.
No. It didn't. And we somehow figured it out.
Google.
We didn't have
but
to Google.
We somehow figured it out.
I know it's IT, though. Sorry.
No, but we somehow figured out life.
Because I talk to people.
Right.
And that's what – well, they have the Google, so they don't have to talk to people, but it's all there. You want to learn how to negotiate? Right now there's a – from Ross Business School at U of M, you can take a course on negotiation. You want to learn how to do taxes? There's a course right now in Khan Academy on how to do taxes. You want to learn how to play piano? You want to learn how to play the ukulele? There's a YouTube tutorial on how to play Dead Kennedy songs on a ukulele. I'm just making shit up
probably.
On the fly.
No, there probably is.
Exactly. But, like, I don't care what you want to learn. Like, and I'm instilling that, like, in my 10-year-old. Like, don't ask your father. Just Google it. Like, I don't know all the things. Google knows.
Right.
Google's wise. Google's all-knowing. Right?
It's tech support 101. I don't actually know more than you do. I just know how to use Google.
Right. Right. People call in and say, I can't figure this.
My Google foo is strong.
Right. But, like, that's what I don't get. Like, you can't blame school. So now you want school to teach you how to, like where does it end? Adulting.
I'm trying to remember back to high school. Like, I remember, like, there was a basic econ class where it was like, this is how checkbooks work, which isn't even applicable anymore today because who the hell still has a checkbook?
You don't balance a checkbook?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I get the little alerts and then go to the app and right. Like that kind of, but like it wasn't like in like I don't remember anything telling me how to file taxes. I don't remember anything. It was
but
just
there's software that doesn't know it's
part
easy.
Of yeah exactly. TurboTax walks you through click and you're done.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys didn't have a problem adulting because you grew up without the technology. Do you know what I mean? Do you
but
think
we,
this
no,
is a
we,
side effect of kids growing up on a computer nonstop? They don't have any real life.
No,
skills.
But we were on a computer since we were 13.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we
so
were
I
on
middle school. No, middle school had the Apple IIe's and
not,
oh yeah.
So I was 300 baud modem in a Commodore 64 when I was 13.
TVs when you were in middle school.
Apple IIe.
Oh.
You know, no, not Apple TV. No.
That's so cute though.
We got cable when we were 12, I think.
Yeah. Or the precursor to cable, like the little set-top boxes that
yeah,
were
on TV.
Yeah.
Like, I think we got the cable. Our first cable was like 38 channels, 40 channels.
I think interaction with humans as a child is kind of the beginning of learning how to adult, as they say, and that, you know, most kids are not. And yeah, you can Google it, but I don't think that's what most kids are Googling,
my
how to live.
No, my kid.
Practically,
my kid,
I think they're looking up how, you know, right. Ridiculous.
What are the Kardashians doing? Oh my God.
This summer, whatever. My kid plugs in her iPad into her Bose noise canceling headphones and she's out. Like, I got to scream. Right. For like, and she's like dialed in and she watches YouTubers and like she doesn't even listen to music. It's so weird now. But what's next? Like, they don't listen to like the Police and the Clash like I did at that age. She's listening to like video game songs from like her favorite YouTuber. And I'm like, like, we're Queen. Like,
this damn is Queen. Kids today.
This is Phil Collins. He's good. You know, right.
And I have to say that my child, though. Every child, mother who has a child, has the best child out there.
Oh, we all learned that because today was first day of school day. Mm-hmm. And so everybody has the cutest child. Everybody has.
No, look at my kid. No.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
But see, what I don't do is put my kid on the internet.
That's good.
However, however, he loves The Clash.
As he should.
He should. So I'm with you.
Hey, proud parent moment. My so she was 8 at the time. Year old daughter entered her school talent show to sing "Ice Ice Baby," and knows every word. Like that, parenting win. Like I'm totally good with that.
Yeah, I took my kid to Five Guys like Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody, and she belts it out like "Thank you." Thank you. Like,
yeah, your kid knows how to play Flash on the keyboard. Life's
right,
good.
Flash Gordon, right. Exactly. That's what like, Daddy, what song should I learn? Benny and the Jets on the piano. Like,
yep.
Oh, don't be playing no crap, crappity, you know.
No crappity crap.
This is good stuff. Elton John.
So, hey, I did briefly touch on it. You mentioned it last week. I played catch up. I did watch Stranger Things. Apparently, my opinion is not the popular one. I thought it was a decent show. I just thought it maybe wasn't necessarily worth all the hype. Because let's be honest, I was good up until like pretty much the last episode where bullets don't affect this thing, but apparently a baseball bat with nails through it will mess it up like it was kryptonite.
So semantics, the whole thing is because bullets bad, baseball bat good, and that's why you don't like the whole shit.
But it ripped me out of my suspension of disbelief. Like that was Lost in Space, that crappy Matt LeBlanc movie.
I
totally did. And it was an okay movie right up until the moment where like the planet breaks apart and they're flying through the planet and my brain starts screaming, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this. Like once I have that rip me out of suspension of disbelief mode,
you can't go from one end of the planet to the other through the planet.
But without having gravity rifts and all that kind of. No, it doesn't work that way.
Why not?
Because it doesn't work because physics.
Why don't they dig a hole to like the center of the earth and then dump all the garbage in there?
Instead of making magma. Mountains.
Right, I know, but then like the magma will melt it and like then
and
it's all gone.
Up through the hole because that's how volcanoes work.
Oh. Never mind.
No, I mean, it was like, don't get me wrong.
It was kind of like BVS when Martha, I get it.
It was
they ruined
cutesy,
the whole movie.
It was absolutely targeted at our demographic. It totally was targeted at the 80s kids. From the fonts that they used
perfect.
To the music that they used. You know, and I'll be honest, one of the things that I really, truly liked about it was that it wasn't the stereotypical show today where it was just like the pretty people on the show. Like, it was normal looking kids like you and I grew up with. I mean,
it didn't have those hard teaser endings or like Lost on every episode.
Right.
Where you're like at the end of every show, you're like, God damn it, be not now next.
Give me 2 minutes. Right. Yeah. Yeah, just give me 2 more minutes. Yeah. No, I mean, it was. I mean, it was a decent show.
They're coming out with more.
I know. I'll probably watch because, I mean, it was decent. But, I mean,
and every kid with a buzz cut is going to be walking around with Eggos this Halloween.
Oh, probably.
Right. In like a tan burlap bag with weights on it, you know. And then Matthew Modine, like I said, I couldn't get over the whole Joker thing. Like, you know.
See, and I was always Vision Quest with him. That's all.
That's what happens when you rehash old characters. And then, Winona Ryder, she sucks. Like, I'm sorry. I never liked her in anything. I don't know if it's like, because she was too manipulative in Mr. Deeds, right? And that's my second Mr. Deeds reference today.
See, I ignored her. I completely ignore her in Mr. Deeds. To me, she's always going to be
Heathers. Yeah, no, me too. Yeah. Anyway, next.
So, yeah, strangely, and what was the there was one other show that I caught up on. If you're not watching this, I've become obsessed with Vice Network. Used to be H2, History 2, H2 HD. They took it over.
Not the HBO show?
No, now it's Vice. They have a whole network.
Oh.
They have two shows on that I highly recommend. One is Cyber War, which is they've done everything from you know why how the Iranian nuclear power plant. Got hacked with the whole Stuxnet thing. They've done like Hacking 101. They've done, I mean, it's a phenomenal show. If you're interested in IT, you're curious about like the dark web and all that, I mean, it's a fantastic show.
Well, that documentary's been playing back over and over on, is it Showtime? One of them, the whole Silk Road.
Yeah.
Dark web, you know, like that's. Yep. Facet, like, dude, I had no idea that existed.
So, and that's the other show that's on. It's called Dispatches, and it's got an actor, Michael K. I can't remember his last name, but you'd recognize him if you saw him. And it's they've done again everything from like how the dark web has changed the drug industry. Like, and how it's, you know, everybody's going to, you know, moving towards, you know, Tor and buying drugs online and having it show up through the postal service and not going to their, you know, dealer down the street.
In a box package tied.
Totally.
You know, there's my weed.
But they've done, just two really, really cool shows. If you get the chance, check them out. So, I mean, that's.
But, like, my favorite thing about that whole Silk Road thing is, like, the government, they just took down that one guy and they treat him like he completed mass genocide. And it's like, because they don't understand it. They don't know anything about it.
That was the really cool thing about that episode they did about it is they interviewed guys from Homeland Security and the FBI, and they talked about that. They're like, the laws are not keeping pace with the technology.
And once one guy drops, another one picks up.
And they freely admit, they're like, there's no way we can keep tabs on this. They're like, we know damn well and good that there are tens and hundreds of thousands of people that are buying drugs online, that are going this route, that are doing this kind of thing. No, we don't have the time. Like, we're going after the websites, not the users, because we can't.
But they're all hosted in like Iceland now. It used to be Caymans. Now they're now everyone's putting their data up in Iceland.
Yep.
And it's just getting worse. But, you know, again, I knew nothing of this. I'm still stuck in bulletin boards in CompuServe. And, mm-hmm.
It's essentially back in those days where if you didn't know the number and you didn't know the access code, you couldn't get in.
Right.
It's the same thing.
And you have it set on redial for 2 hours and then finally it rings. You can only have one person on at a time.
Yeah, it really is back in those days. It's getting back to that.
But then someone puts a list out. Yeah, no, I still remember of Yogi's Cave. I got to find the guy that ran Yogi's Cave and have him on the show. That would like be my 1A moment in this thing if I could find that guy, if they even exist. It was from Royal Oak. It was local.
We'll hunt him down.
Exactly. But hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Victoria here from Hatch Detroit. This is the IT in the D show, and we will be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Lives of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D show.
How that song made the radio, I'll have no idea. Welcome back. This is segment 2, episode 161 of...
You Hush Your Mouth.
Was that Richard Marx in his early days?
No, John Parr.
This is the who?
Who also did some Rocky songs that you like, so kiss my ass.
Yeah, but that one he bombed on. This is the IT and the D show.
It's like one of the most popular movies from the 80s. That's everybody, what is it?
It's a movie.
We are broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Captain Soundboard, Dave the Geek. Guess where Nuri is on Twitter and win a bag of chips and a beer at the studio. He is on location. Find us online, itinthed.com. Have some cool news. I don't know if it's too early or not, but we are working with the state of Michigan and the fine city of Flint.
Yeah.
And we're going to be working with Goodwill to provide IT training to veterans and to displaced workers filling the skills gap. So
in Flint, yeah.
Should be we'll have more announcements as they come, but we had the preliminary kickoff meeting today, and kind of excited about that. It's cool stuff.
It's only been coming for a while.
Yeah, but now it's finally real.
We're starting to finally use our powers for good.
The lab is done. They need specs done to work for Pearson View and for so they can proctor exams, but then then we're good to go. 9:15, September 15th, 5 o'clock, Pink Slip Party Majestic. Mark your calendars. Go to the Meat tab on our site, which is M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T. That still doesn't exist.
Yeah, we still don't have meat sticks, Bob.
No, well, I'm working on it.
That was a couple weeks out, three months ago.
I know. I dropped the ball.
All right.
But the Meat tab on our website and find out all the details and the FAQs and all that good stuff to need to know about. Hope to see you out there.
Yeah, should be a good night.
So we are joined by one of our favorite guests, or least favorite today if you've been heckling me, but Victoria is in the house from Hatch Detroit. Welcome. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you. Sorry, I've been heckling you.
No, it's quite all right.
He usually deserves it.
So the Hatch contest is – usually we've had you on like the couple weeks before, and but like the Hatch contest is over. Have you caught up on your sleep?
I actually have. It's been pretty amazing. I did take a couple days to sleep after everything that was going on, and I went to the UP.
Yay. Did you bring me back a pasty?
Lack of IT or any technology. Yeah. No pasties. Sorry.
Oh, see, should have brought me pasties. That's next time you go to the UP, bring me pasties.
I will.
So talk.
If you're going to mock me, at least make me worth it.
Right. So I guess for people that don't know the process, I guess – walk me through like the grand scheme when you guys say, hey, we're opening up for contestants. Like, how bombarded do you guys get with entrants?
So we actually start the process really early before we open it to entries. And what we try to do for the whole year prior is to walk through different neighborhoods and talk to people about like actually becoming a contestant. And then from there, and usually it's about April, we open for our contestants to enter.
Isn't it always about April? Oh, wait, that's a total aside.
No, it kind of is, but I just don't want to say that because the next year, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
But it always is kind of about April. And from April until July, they have an option to apply online. And then from there, we go and we read all of their entries. We have a group of 50 people from the community, Detroit-based organizations and friends of, you know, the city. And we basically go from there and reduce it to a group of 10. And then from the 10, we introduce them to the public. And then the public decides who moves forward.
So, I mean, every year we've had all the finalists in, and it's always been – there's never been any business that's been alike compared to the last year. So there's really no rhyme or reason. I guess how do you guys figure out –
we've had toy stores, movie theaters, breweries, distilleries.
Diners.
Yeah, it's been all over the map.
The coolest thing about it is that, weirdly enough, and I know I've mentioned this several times on the show, is that – we don't require people to be residents of the city, but they randomly always are. Like, I think about 80% of our people end up being residents of the city of Detroit when they get to the top four. So
is that, I guess, it just happens that way?
I think that Detroiters know what Detroiters want, and they vote for it.
Well, if you're going to have some schlep from Auburn Hills come down, you know, and start a podcast studio, they're going to get thumbs down, buddy. I'm kidding.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Almost.
Well, no. So, I mean, like, so it's, and it is. I mean, this is year three or four.
This is the fourth that we've had around for this stuff.
Almost right in the beginning last time.
And I don't know that I've ever seen anybody agonize over a process the way that you do. I mean, just because, I mean, it's so intensive and it's so.
And I truly fall in love with every single contestant. It's really hard. Like, they're so committed, and they're so in love with their businesses. And, I mean, honestly, I cry every year because I'm so happy about the winner, and I'm so sad about the ones who don't win.
Right.
So, we believe that when we put our 10 forward, that there are going to be 10 people that can win and should win and are going to be amazing.
Well, so and I guess let's talk about that. So, like, you put the 10 forward that you think will win. What goes into that? Because, like, I know, like, we've had – like I said, we haven't had the 10 in, but we've had the final four in. And it seems like, okay, you know, yeah, do you have a good business plan put together? Do you kind of know, you know, what you want to do and where you want to open and how, you know, what your projections are and all that kind of stuff? Like, what goes into that, okay, these 10 ought to be the ones that move to that next step?
So what I missed is that we actually start with a group of 25. We bring those 25 to 50 people. That and those are the people I described to you. So they're people that are funders. They're people who own buildings in the city. You know, there's a huge group of people that make decisions on who the top 10 are going to be. And then we take that group and...
It's not just you in a room with a red pen.
No.
Right.
It'd be scary. So then we take those 10 and we do a background check on them just to make sure they're not axe murderers. And that's the only thing we really care about.
So, Bob, we will not be applying to open a podcast.
I only said that because Bob talked about opening a business and I just wanted to make sure.
I'm screwed. Yeah. So I guess talk to like the I don't want to call them losers because everybody had like
nobody's there was a loser.
No, you know what I mean, the ones that didn't make the cut or didn't win the prize. What are there some success stories out there that you can articulate on maybe that?
Well, you've had more than five businesses that have opened up.
Correct. So there's two questions I feel like I've just been asked.
Yeah.
So one is that we do alert 25 businesses to come and actually present their goods, and then we reduce it to 10. So when the 25 come forward, they often ask us for information about how they can improve their plan, whatever they can do, and we offer them some assistance on that so that they can move forward in the next year. Once you become a 10, you kind of can't like proceed because the... you can't reapply, I should say, because the amount of recognition you get is so great, it would make an unfair.
Gotcha.
So it would make you unfair for the next year. So those 10 people we've had in the last 5 years, because we just ended our sixth year, we've had 15 people open up, and we have an additional 14 that are on the verge of either opening up as a bricks and mortar pop-up or some other form. the cool thing about the process is that some of our people end
up... So that's 29 out of, call it, 50. That's
wow.
Not a bad success rate.
And the cool thing is that some of our people go through the process and they're like, you know what? We're, first of all, we're a bricks and mortar based business,
right?
Like models, so we really want you to be a bricks and mortar. But the thing is that they go through a process, and sometimes they decide, "Oh my God, I thought I wanted to be this.
No, I should not be a storefront.
And I should not." And that's okay. I mean, that is okay. You know, it's not okay if you win the prize.
Right.
That's a whole other conversation. But it is okay because what it does is give you, you know, the insight into what you actually want to have happen.
I mean, but you look at, I mean, just between Sister Pie and Batch, those are like household brand names in this town.
No, like, but you
by all means. You
absolutely.
Know.
Sister Pie won Bon Appetit's Best New Restaurant of 2015.
Oh, yeah, they're in all kinds of publications
Batch
at this point.
Batch is killing it. La Feria, you know, Elias and, you know, his crew, Pilar and everybody. I mean, the thing I'm most happy about is that the people who go through the contest, like, they're sought after. And they also have a very strong sense of what their business plan is going to be and where they want to go with it. So we've, you know, Detroit Vegan Soul, for example, like, they opened up in West Village, and they're amazing. And, you know, they were a top four, and they're open, and they're opening a new location.
Wow.
You know, I mean, we have...
But I think everyone, like, you talk about that, they're really good, too. And, you know, this was, like, kind of like the defibrillator, like, basically, like, you know, just to get them, just to jump them to the next level. But you look at, like, how they run their businesses, they're flawless, I mean, for the most part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, you look at... batch. You look at and we joke, but I mean it's true. I mean, like, every time we've had the four finalists in before the event, we've always known walking out of that show who the winner was going to be. And it comes down to some of that same criteria, like, you know, who's able to answer the questions about their business plan, who's able to answer the questions about, you know, their projections and growth and where they see things happening and that kind of stuff. That to me seems to be the same. I mean, it's the same criteria that you guys use, like, who actually has their head in the game enough to make this financial investment by Comerica, as well as all of the other stuff that you guys make available, whether it's the legal advice and everything else, to make that worth putting behind somebody.
So totally true. But we really do look at, like, a different sort of model when we bring people forward to the top 10. And we absolutely are going to bring somebody who everything you said is true. But we are not going to bring 10 food businesses to the table,
right?
So to speak. we're not going to bring 10, like, we want to diversify ourselves with the number of businesses that are food related, that are traditional retail related, that are service related. We also want to make sure that we bring to the top 10, since it's a publicly decided contest, we want to make sure that we bring enough people that are diverse in any way we can.
Well, yeah, because I mean, and that's, you know, and that's one of those things that, like, once you get past that
and qualified,
right?
I mean, there the same level is up there. It's just that we want to also make sure that we diversify our contest, because, you know, Detroit. I'm born and raised. Everybody has their own thing that they want, and I kind of like sunglasses, but 10 sunglass stores out there is not.
You don't want Sunglass Hut on every corner?
No. And I'm, like, weirdly obsessed with sunglasses, so it cannot be about Vittoria. That's why we bring 50 people in, to make a determination of who goes forward.
Well, no, I mean, and that's – I think that's one of the things that's been interesting about this, watching it go. I mean, you look at, you know, whether it's the winners or, you know, those 14 others that are, you know, that have made their way through, and even if they didn't win, they're still going forward and opening something. Because the community's involved, and by community, it's not – and I guess that's a, you know, good touch, bad touch. It's not just as you move from that final 10 to the final four, it's not just – Detroit that's voting, it's Metro Detroit that gets engaged. You know, you've got, you know, people in Royal Oak that are casting votes, and people in, you know, Auburn Hills that are casting
votes,
and that kind of stuff.
Worldwide, but I will attest that it's always amazing to me that the top four people tend to be Detroit based, like living in the city.
Right.
And I don't know why that happens. I mean, it's not a requirement.
Probably because they have the most passion and the most
I mean, it could be. Yeah. I don't know. But our top four have been living in the city of Detroit for years. And yeah. I think that's amazing.
I mean, look, if I was ever going to open up retail frontage anywhere, it would be like within 3 square miles where I'm at, because that's where I have the most people.
Right.
Like, you know, you see your neighbors and, like, you have people at the diner and people at the grocery store more than you do anywhere else. Right. So,
yeah
it makes sense.
It does. I mean, we have had people who don't live in the city, but predominantly it's always turned down. Like, that's just amazing to me.
No, good. I mean, it's good to hear. I mean, because, I mean, it is. I mean, that's one of the things that you hear is, you know, is there too much external influence on what, quote unquote, Detroit needs, or what, you know, quote unquote, Detroit should have. And the fact that you've got – I mean, that first step is 50 people that are in, around, and ingrained in the city that are making that first cut. I think that's something that maybe some people don't know.
Agreed. I mean, you know, but the thing is that I'd like to also say that whether or not they know that, looking at the businesses that have opened up have made a significant impact on the community around them. So the businesses that have opened up have generated, like, basically put more than $2 million in the economy in the city of Detroit. They've employed over 40 people.
Yeah.
Actually, over 80 people, which is amazing because we're moving forward.
Right.
None of the buildings that have been, like, the buildings that they have renovated have been empty for years before. Most often, the people who are, like, people that are part of our contest have actually renovated buildings in the neighborhoods in which they live.
Right.
So, including our current winner, who has been a Corktown resident for years. And I think that that's, like, a significant statement. So, like, you look at where, you know, we're moving forward. I mean, Detroit Vegan Soul is my neighbor in West Village, and they opened up a shop around the corner from us. And that was, like, incredibly important to our neighborhood. And she engaged us all into the voting process. And beyond what, you know, Hatch can do so much with voting, but she engaged us all in it. She put little things on everyone's doors, and we were like, it signified what community meant.
Right.
You know what I mean? And same thing happened, you know, Sister Pie did the same thing. She lives in our community.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she didn't make it. She was a top 25 and came back.
Oh, and, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. Hmm. And she killed it. I think there's something to be said about engaging your community in the process in which, you know, you are trying, where you're trying to go.
So speaking of this year's winner, we're going to take a quick break and we will be back with the winner of the 2016 Hatch Detroit contest. This is the IT in the D show and we will be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. Segment 3, the supposed to be number one ranked technology podcast on SoundCloud this week, but no.
Where's the X-Files theme when I did it?
Yeah, no, you ruined it, Dave. This is the one and only IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Find us online, itinthed.com, and you will find all the things. And as we promised, the grand champion, the winner, the grand poobah, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the winner of the 2016 Hatch Detroit Championship. We have Genevieve here from Metaphysica.
Hi.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. I just have to mention my partner, Anna E. Hollis, couldn't make it tonight.
Oh,
so I didn't do this all alone.
Hashtag shout out.
Shout out to Anna E.
So
in relation to Sheila E. or no?
No.
So I guess let's start from the minute one. Like, you know, was this thing a pipe dream? Was this something you've been thinking of? Is this something you've been doing? And then when Hatch came up, like, hey, this wouldn't be a bad idea. Or I guess walk me through.
You mean my business or the Hatch application? No, I have been doing massage for 13 years. And I opened.
You have a very massagey voice.
Yeah, I'm just that's saying, what people say.
It's like, yeah, read me bedtime stories. And like,
I think it's because I smoke cigarettes for 20 years.
No, not indeed. Like, it's more like, just relax. Everything's good. You know?
Well, I spend a lot of time massaging people, so you know, it helps with the relaxation. But yeah, I've been doing massage for 13 years. I have a background. I worked in mental health, and I worked in the school systems, and I worked for the court system as well. And I decided that
the court gives people back rubs.
No, custody investigation.
I'm being funny. I'm just being funny. Okay. Oh, sorry.
I know it's okay. Then I decided that I was going to pursue massage full time in Detroit, and I opened up a little studio, and I've been doing that ever since. I think since 2013.
Okay,
I believe.
So, are you in Corktown now?
No, I'm located in Midtown at the corner of Woodward and Alexandria in a one room studio.
Okay.
So to actually clarify.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, no. So we Genevieve doesn't have a brick and mortar business. And she just has a space that she was using.
Right. No, I don't have like
So what she's going to have now is a full right. Metaphysica space.
Right, like a door and a sign and all those things that come along with brick and mortar. No, I was renting out a room adjacent to a yoga studio for a little bit.
And just kind of a pop-up.
Yeah, and I have – the demand just got too out of hand. So I've been looking for a brick and mortar for about 2.5 years, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's been difficult.
I'm sure. Like, you look at the boom that's going on with downtown and midtown. You can't get – it seems like
– No, everything's very expensive, or it's very large, or it needs a ton of renovation. And it was just by chance that I was walking around my neighborhood. I lived in Corktown. I've lived in the city for about 25 years off and on, and I've been living in Corktown, I believe, for the last 3 years. And I was walking around the corner, and the old liquor store had been vacant for I don't know how long. But someone was renovating it, and I contacted the owner and asked him if he'd be interested in having massage and sauna and a raw juice bar and apothecary located in the building, and he said absolutely. So I've been working on it since last October, trying to get the money to make it all happen.
Sure, but I mean, so that's kind of the thing we talk about, Dave, is, you know, she came at, I think you, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you probably came at this thing knowing your business, knowing your plan. You're like, this is like the one thing that's going to, hey, this, you know, if I do this, it'll catapult me.
It's the bump over the top.
Yeah.
It was, I got to be honest, I never really thought I would win in the sense that massage, sauna, I didn't know if that was too progressive for Hatch or for Detroit or what, but I figured every other city has a ton of places like this, so we should too. Plus, all my clients are Detroiters, and I literally cannot, I don't have enough space for them. You know, right now I need more employees. I need a larger, you know, space. So I knew it was wanted and needed, but it was, I mean, who thinks they're going to win $50,000 in
no doubt.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, and that's part of the fun and excitement of running a small business is trying to convince a bank or someone like that, that, hey, you know, yeah, there really is a demand. There really is a need.
Right. And it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
The business plan alone was a lot of work. You know, I have an accountant who helps me. I have, I don't know what I would call her. I have a Candace. She helped me write the business plan, make the website. I mean, there's so many aspects that goes into running a business, and I don't have a degree in business. I have a degree in Spanish. I used to live in Spain for a long time, and I ended up working in mental health and then massage. You know, that's just how life goes. I've learned a lot about business, though, in the meantime.
I thought you were 25. You said you've been in Detroit 25 years. I'm like, how'd you go to Spain?
I wish I was 25.
So, I mean, what's the – so the short-term plan is you're going to get the business booming. Do you, I mean, have you come up with a long-term plan yet? Or are you just still kind of basking in the glow?
No. It just – as soon as we won, the next day was like, now it's time to work even harder, quite honestly, because now we have to deal with some – permitting and then the build out and then the ordering. And my business partner is an interior designer by trade, and she knows that due to the boom going on, a lot of things that you order are 6 to 8 weeks out, you know, so we're dealing with a lot. Plus I have an influx of business from Winning Hatch, and I'm trying to keep up with that demand. I mean, it's just nonstop. So the long-term plan is really to, you know, hopefully just keep growing and expanding.
So I know, I mean, obviously the highlight of this is coming on our show, but I mean, other than, I mean, as far as press that you've gotten and have you been on like all the TV stations, radio shows?
We've been on a lot of TV. I'm sorry, I'm the worst at this. Victoria, help me.
We've been on radio so much. But I think the biggest thing is also that, like, what I loved is that the first interview we had together, you were like, okay, so what do I do about my pro bono service? Because, like, in addition to the $50,000 prize, they do get about $250,000 in pro bono services. And so Genevieve and Anne were, like, all into, like, we have to have a meeting about this. And I was going on vacation the next day, and I was like, can we wait till next week?
Not right now.
The funny thing is, though,
so excited.
I didn't even know that until my brother was like, do you know about all the pro bono services you have? And I was like, no. And then I looked at it, and I was like, wow. I am so busy running my business that I kind of – you know, hit send with the application and left it alone till I got an email from Hatch saying you have to do this. I went and did that. You know, I keep following the directions, but I really didn't look too deeply into Hatch, although I know that a lot of my friends have applied in the past, and they're all opening, like Third Wave is opening.
Oh, the record place.
Yeah.
Music
yeah.
place. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. Jen Davis
totally
is a good
awesome.
Yeah, they're having their soft opening on Saturday, and so she's a good friend
very
of mine.
Cool. I totally remember them.
Yeah. Right, and so I knew about it from friends and just the media around it, but I really, like I said, I didn't go into it thinking, oh, we're going to walk out with $50,000.
I think that's the big plan is they should have like a Hatch store, like downtown, kind of like that mega, like the Somerset store, like
no,
on Woodward.
No.
And then you have like
all
you can
the
get,
places.
Yeah, you can get, like, you can get a beer and a cookie and a
back. I overwhelmingly say that will never happen.
That would be great, the one stop
no,
shop.
Beer no, from Batch.
Yeah,
get.
Cookie
yeah.
from.
Yeah, have like a Hatch mall.
And then you sit on the chair and you get a little shoulder rub and then
right.
you
okay,
buy some records.
Victoria is going to kill us if we keep talking.
Everything you're saying is hurting my soul.
So what's, I guess, what's the, you know, so long-term, short-term, like when are you planning on, like when do you think you might be opening up
well,
in the new location?
And it really all depends on the build-out and permitting. And we're in a building with another top 10 finalist, Aitadaku, which is a sushi
okay.
place. Right. And three other businesses. Now, you know, my partner would be the better person to talk to because it's all about the certificate of occupancy. You know what I
right.
mean? It's, there's so much, like, red tape to get through. I would love to say 6 to 8 months.
Okay.
That
so
would
the
be
beauty,
my goal.
Though, is that winning and non-winning, we will support you all the way.
Oh, yeah.
So, Genevieve, like, what you don't realize is that because I mean
a lot.
Like, there's
but wait there's more
and I know hey can we open door number 3 but she you know we will help through that entire process so in addition to like legal services from Honigman we have architectural services we have from Hamilton Anderson we have like a ton of things available accounting services like anything she needs to get that door open will be made available. And then, in addition, we work with our top 10 to try to get them open as well. So we do technical assistance for them.
Well, I mean, I just remember, like, Batch. I mean, like, Batch took, like, a year and a half to find – I mean, they had some churn. But
normally,
I mean,
you're supposed to be within the year.
Yeah.
They took a little longer because they had a space that they thought was going to work out, and it didn't.
Right.
And but the beauty of them is that, first of all, they're amazing people.
Like, Stephen, yeah, he's been on here a couple times.
They
yep.
had a space, and then they found a better space, and it took a little longer to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But
their
you
spot's
know,
perfect, yeah.
We will work with that. I mean, we enter into contract with our winners, and they're required to either open in a year or make significant progress. And, you know, Genevieve's going to do that.
Yeah, let's hope so. It's I have to tell you, all the assistance is, I mean, being a small business owner, any help you can get really does help. I mean, you need it. Because before I had my partner, it was just me doing everything. And it's hard to, there's one thing to work in your business, it's another thing to work on your business. It ends up being a 24-hour a day job.
Sounds like the arguments me and Dave have every day.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean,
yeah.
It's one thing for me to be physically massaging people all day, and it's another thing to do the website, email everybody back. You know what I mean.
Yep.
It's a lot, so any help is greatly appreciated, and I'm just really grateful because I never saw myself in this position. And I know how hard everybody else worked, too, because anybody who's in the top 10 or top 4 did the same things that we did. And because I saw them out there, you know, because we were at the voting booths and the polls and everybody was promoting themselves. It was very challenging and it was very fun. And we all kind of hung out together. And I, you know, I'm speaking as the person that won, though. I hope, you know, everybody feels
like all going through
feeling.
Boot camp together.
Right.
At some,
well, yeah,
some
that's
level.
The thing.
Yeah.
We all
so, you
understand.
Know, that's a really interesting point is that I have been through this for 5 of the 6 years. And there is a really strong camaraderie around
yeah.
the winners and the people, like the people, the top 10. they either sell, like maybe they decide that they're not going to have their own brick and mortar store, but they want to sell coffee. So they sell their coffee to each other. They,
right.
You know, there's things going on there because of the way that the contest is run and the way they have to interact that they actually become friends.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of cool.
So, like, what's your goal? What do you see Metaphysica being, call it a year from now?
Well, hopefully we'll be busy offering affordable services, like, you know, self-care services, massage, sauna, raw juice, apothecary, to all Detroiters who want to come in, because I do have a very large clientele in the city, and we just hope to get more people through the door. What we encourage is people to take care of themselves. We don't consider that frivolous or any type of luxury. It's we look at it as a necessity, and we just want to make it kind of not a once-a-year thing you do for yourself, but something you can say, oh, I can afford that. I'll go do that once a month. You know.
Hey, I got a Groupon. Let's go to Metaphysica. I'm kidding.
That we will not.
happy anniversary, hon. Here's your massage.
Here's a Groupon.
Her pricing is one of the things that brought her to the judges.
And I pay my therapist fairly as well, too.
Right. But, I mean, the pricing of services was so ridiculously
reasonable.
Yeah.
Well,
that was something I remember hearing, which you don't know yet, uh-huh, that the judges were very proud of, was that because, you know, I think it's when you think about health care, you know, people don't even get prescription drugs when they need to.
Right.
And she's 50% less than what the average price is.
Right.
Wow.
And I'm still able to, you know, support myself. And make, you know, and I run specials every month because I do not believe that just because a massage is very expensive that it is very good. And I don't look at it as, oh, like, you know, just something that, oh, I want to, I don't even know what people think. I do therapeutic massage. I only want to hire people who do therapeutic massage. And our goal is reducing pain, you know, reducing blood pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, increasing your health and your, you know, your day-to-day living, because I believe that healthier, happier people make better neighbors. You know, people I want to be around.
Very
and
cool.
It's very common in other cities, and it exists here in Detroit. I just want to create a place where you can kind of do a one-stop shop, you know, massage, sauna, juice, herbs.
Well, I think everybody clearly agrees, because that's why she won. So it's exciting.
So I guess where do people find you online? Because you said website. So where can people find out about where you are now and kind of keep track of you as you move forward?
Sure. It's www.metaphysicamassage.com.
Okay. Well, we had the links.
And they can also link through our website.
At Hatch Detroit.
At HatchDetroit.com.
Yep. Randy put it up on Twitter too. So yeah, we're covered.
Cool.
Yeah. But hey, Genevieve, congratulations.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing your new and continued success.
Thank you very much.
But hey, we're going to be back with Taylor from Birdbee, and this is the IT and the D Show, and we'll be right back.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
Welcome back. Thank you for playing, listening, whatever you're doing. This is the IT and the D Show. We're at episode 161. You know the drill by now. Find us online, itandthed.com. We're here at Podcast Detroit. This is Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek.
Woo.
Last but not least, we are joined. You've been patient and quiet like a church mouse, and thank you for hanging out with us. We have Taylor here from Birdbee. Appreciate spending time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So how bad do you hate the person sitting across the table right now? I'm kidding.
It's okay.
I don't. Of course not.
So, I mean, we asked the same question to Genevieve, but, I mean, how was the process for you? Like, how was your business? Were you already doing, like, a brick-and-mortar or pop-up shop? And then, I mean, let's talk about what Birdbee is, and then we'll jump into that.
So it's just an online clothing store right now.
Okay.
So I was doing, like, events and festivals and, you know, small pop-ups, but I didn't have, like, a permanent presence anywhere. So that's what I was looking to try and make it happen, which it's still going to happen.
So an online clothing store that sells what? Like what kind of clothing?
I call it modern bohemian.
Okay.
That's kind of at our core what our vibe is. But we do have, like, kind of everything. We have contemporary clothing. We have just a little bit of everything. And we have everything to complete your entire outfit. It's not like only tops, you know, like you can find everything there.
So like me and Dave are like jeans and like bowling shirts and like what's modern bohemian, like to explain it, like
so it's
it is
a
not
lot of it,
what you want.
it's a lot of vintage inspired looks, so right
like
now,
like the 2000s, like the
not like, quite. Like, no, a lot of it right now is like 70s, 80s, 90s, but just like a modern twist on that. So it's
bring
like
hyper color back, Bob.
Super, right? Super square bell bottoms, but you know we have a little bit of those
surf style.
Yeah. But it's a trending style right now. It's kind of just.
So if I can interject, sorry to
you. Could we stop you if we wanted to?
I know now, but when we were setting up our top 25. You know, as we talked about, like we have these 50 people that come and look at what people are going to offer. I had to like stop people from trying to buy her stuff. And I was like, it's not for sale, because she had this beautiful display set up and her clothing choices are remarkable. I mean, like very well curated, very well done, like a beautiful selection. And I was like, people, step away.
Well, and
actually,
that was,
I had to make Ashley at one point.
That's true.
Like, we don't have a square for this. Go away, people.
Well, and that was one of the questions we asked as we were just kind of sitting around before the show. I mean, so like, is this stuff that you're designing? Is this stuff that you know you're bringing in? Like, what are you doing?
I bring in from other designers. So I have about probably 15 designers right now that I kind of have learned to really, you know, appreciate their quality, and I kind of know what to expect from them. So I keep continuing to bring that stuff in. But
I mean, it's almost like putting together an art, you know, we got enough artists and comic authors here that we know that process when you want to put together a gallery showing, that you don't just slap crap on the
wall. And you, not you,
yeah,
you,
right,
not
you, yeah.
Curated.
Yeah, it's
a
sort
really
of an art,
very,
for sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely not how me and Dave shop.
No, we walk in, look at mannequin,
right,
give me
you.
Three of those.
Right.
Yeah,
and then I won't see you for 4 years.
Right.
When these rip, I'll go buy new ones.
So, like, what sort of, I guess, who's your target demographic? What sort of price points are you running at? That sort of thing.
So when I started the business, I had been in a lot of boutiques where I loved everything there. I was, like, very inspired when I was shopping there. But I could not afford anything. And so I was like, I want to have this in Detroit, but I want to be able to afford stuff. And so
what a novel concept.
Myself, you know? So our price points are good. I mean, we did start a little bit cheaper, but I appreciate good quality. And I want people to buy investment pieces rather than, like, wear it one time and throw it away.
Right.
So we've kind of moved a little bit past like the super cheap price point, but we're still very moderately priced. Like I would say our average is like 40 to 50, which is affordable.
So Randy just asked on Twitter, are you planning on expanding to menswear, or is it just what it
is
right now?
I am. people ask me all the time, and I mean, not a huge selection because I don't want to completely like turn into a department store.
Right.
But I do want to have a small selection of like casual men's that kind of fits the vibe of Birdby. So.
Wasn't it like an episode of Married with Children, like the Al Bundy collection, or was it like all bowling shirts? Like I want to like guest curate one day, just like
it'll be all bowling shirts,
Everybody, what Married with Children?
Oh, that was one of the best shows ever.
Yeah, bowling shirts and plaid shorts.
Right. That's what it'll be.
So okay, so as not the winner, like I guess that's so this will be where we differentiate a little bit. So like, what are your plans now? Like, what are you looking forward to, you know, next 6 months, that kind of thing? Like, where do you go from here?
Well, I mean, I'm still looking at spaces because I would like to open as soon as I can. I'm to the point where I have a lot of inventory, and I've built myself to this point so that I'm ready to go into a store instead of getting to the point where I'm like, I think I want to open up a store, and then having to still spend a lot of money on your inventory. And so I've made a lot of sacrifices to get myself to where I'm at right now, where I have everything I need for a store. I just need the actual building and everything else that goes along with it. So
do you keep driving by that one location all the time and going, oh, that would be perfect? I mean, you have that in mind?
Some places, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So hopefully
me and Dave still do that about our corner bar. I was wondering if I could only, you know, look, want to buy that place.
Yeah.
So we do have a meeting that I still have to get on the books, but it's going to happen in the next week or so with our top four people, and then another meeting with the 10 that actually gives them feedback on where they're going with their business and what the judges thought about their business. And then hopefully that will give you enough, influence to move forward. And that's our next goal.
So the bad stuff too, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, we give bad stuff.
Okay. Well, no, because
no, I mean,
sometimes, like.
You need it. I mean, like, but there's not that much bad. This is a good. It's pretty good. I mean, there's not that much.
So
bad,
me and Dave weren't judges this year, because I was like.
That's why you're never judges.
we would demand a gong.
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing. We can't do that next year? No gong? Oh, she shook her head. Great radio, Victoria.
No. You said you've got all this inventory. I'm like, is this just like hanging out in your house at this point? Like, do you have storage?
So I've been lucky enough to be using a space. It's just an office space,
gotcha.
Temporarily, but I'm about to get kicked out of that space. So I need to make something happen pretty quick here. But yeah, it's a big like area where I just have all my racks lined up, and it's nice to have that because I am constantly going to different shows on the weekends, and I have to. You know, repack and unload and all of that every single time because I always have to kind of keep in mind who I'm going to sell things
right.
to this time, you know.
So when you say shows, process. When you say shows, I don't know what that, it doesn't register to me. I'm just, for the people out there that don't know what, like, what type of
right,
shows, like
right.
what.
So this month I have a lot of fall vintage markets that I'm going to. So it's, I don't have vintage, but I mean, people really like having like little pop-up boutiques there. So we do really well at those, and I bring, you know, I try and do like a 10x20 setup and just make it look like a mini store for the weekend. So
okay. A fall vintage set, like I want to go. That's why I'm like.
Yeah, well, so there's actually one this Sunday in Woodhaven. I'm going to be at one in Holly, Michigan, and then I'm going to be at one in Monroe, actually. So kind of all over the place.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So
a lot of cool stuff.
That transition from the online world to physical retail, like why? Is it because, I mean, a lot of people think, hey, it's, you know, yeah, I've got the inventory. It's great. I can just sell it online and be done with it. Like, what do you think that transition to a physical space will give you that the online world doesn't?
Interacting with people and having them, you know, have a place for people to come actually try things on and get the whole experience, because I think having my online boutique is, there's so many of them opening up now. They're just popping up everywhere. And it's hard to even, for people to find what, I mean, you can't get a vibe from like just shopping online.
True.
You don't get like, what is the store about just by looking at their website. But like when you actually can walk into a space and like have, you know, all of your five senses kind of stimulated, I think it makes a huge difference in that store. So.
Okay.
So, Dave, if I could interject, that's the whole point, like, of the independent brick-and-mortar retail space that mm-hmm. Hatch Detroit is trying to make, is that, yes, we can all, like, get whatever we want on the internet, but it doesn't create community. It doesn't, like, make a neighborhood walkable. It doesn't make visibility. It doesn't make us unique. Like, so all those things, that's why it's so important to have a Bird Bee. It's why it's so important to have Metaphysica, you know, Corbay, Coriander. It just makes Detroit different than any other neighborhood you're ever going to, or city, for that matter, that you're ever going to go into. And then also makes it, like, a benefit to the residents of that community. So, I mean, you can get anything online.
Do you know what would change the game at a women's clothing shop? Having like a 4-seat, like a little hideaway, like a little sports bar, so we'll go shopping with our wives and it'll be actually palatable, so we don't just sit in those four chairs in the by the dressing room just like with a sad look on our face. Like, we could actually,
it's
like,
not, it won't be terrible like that up
in the city.
Okay, we'll have a bar cart. Okay,
fine, perfect.
And have like a purse valet.
The city, right? Like, yeah, our wives shop on our own. Like, mm-hmm. The city's different.
Like, you just tell, like, that sad guy, like, the, like me holding the big pink Coach purse. Like,
it so does not happen in Detroit. Sorry, guys. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Oh, but that's what I said. If you open up a little bar, in a
Bob just thinks everything should have a little bar.
Yeah. I know, that's right. Fine. That
they have one at Nino Savage's, for crying out. They can have one at a. No, I'm just kidding.
True. So, where do people find Bird Bee now? Like, where can they go? Again, same, you know, kind of same question. Where can they, like, keep an eye on you, see how things are going,
well,
check your stuff out?
Definitely follow my Instagram. I take big pride in it. So they can search for shopbirdb, or they can just put bird_b_.
Okay.
And they can check out shopbirdb.com.
Okay. Very cool. Well, and Vittoria, you lightly touched on this. There were two other finalists that couldn't make it here tonight. It was Corbet. I believe they're a ceramic studio.
They are. And one of the reasons they're not here is that they're frantically making pottery for an event that they're doing in Chicago. So, again, you know, this is an amazing studio that is – I don't know if you guys know this, but they have made physical state, like actual state pieces for the entire 50 states. And it's like, I really want to have a charcuterie board with all of their 50 states.
Interesting.
It's amazing. They're wonderful. They're going to be in Chicago this weekend. And so they're frantically like making some new pieces for their spot.
Ironically, I want to eat the salami off of her charcuterie board.
Oh, my God. So, on another note, coriander.
Oh, see, yeah, coriander. Urban farming, and they were looking to opening a cafe, I believe.
They are. Yep. And so coriander is just, you know, Gwen has been a remarkable farmer for years. And her partner, Allison, has been a chef. And they're looking to open on the river of Detroit. They own land already to do like a farm-to-table thing. And, again, they're up north, like, researching the next spot that they want to bring fresh and local food from Michigan back to their place. And I am incredibly confident that all four of these businesses will open. I mean, you know, you're going to have to test me on this, but I think all four of our businesses are going to open within the year.
Okay.
And then the top 10 will open within 12 to 14 months. And I'm going to hold that. I'm going to say that out loud. That's how proud I am.
No, it just sounds like all of them are filling a, I don't want to say much needed, because that's, you know, debatable. But, I mean, they're all filling a niche that I think, you know, either hasn't
isn't
been
represented or isn't represented well.
Properly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, where are you going to get sushi in the city right now?
Not the, there was that one place in Midtown that closed.
Not there.
No.
We have an amazing sushi place that's looking to open, and he has a remarkable concept that makes it very affordable and easy. And I, you know, Itadaku, he's gonna be, I'll give him 9 months.
Yeah,
ooh,
me too.
Can we do that? Can I tell you everyone?
Was it in Oslo?
Might have been.
Yeah, it's a good place, but yeah.
And we have Chugga's, which is like, these guys have been selling baked goods in the city for a very long time, and like they're just about ready to open up a new shop, and like a true bricks and mortar place. And Ash and I went to the place they want to go in. It's on Victor Street in Highland Park, and we walked in 2 years ago, and just felt like it is the coolest spot ever.
Called Chugga's?
She wants to go in there. They're going to repurpose an old bakery and make it Chugga's. And they make amazing breads and everything. So, I mean,
I feel like Chugga's is the name of a bar.
Yeah, totally. That's what I'm thinking. Like, I would have
for
a beer there.
For you two, it would be. But for others, no.
Well, beer is bread. So, I mean, yeah.
All right, very cool. Well, I'll tell you what. I think we've gotten everywhere we need to be. Yeah. Victoria, where do people find Hatch? It's HatchDetroit.com, yes?
HatchDetroit.com, and I apologize that we didn't have enough time to like tell all of our top 10 tales, but I truly believe that we have a group of people that are going to open up next.
Well, and some of that was us. I mean, scheduling worked. We will own that. You know,
I'm sorry. No, I meant that, you know, it's all you that they're going to open up.
No. That we didn't have we didn't have our usual episode 2 weeks ago where we would have had everybody in and had those whole conversations. It's been kind of a crazy year for us. Go figure. And then Genevieve, Metaphysica is at.
Website or?
Yeah.
Okay. www.metaphysicamassage.com.
Cool. And then Taylor?
shopbirdbee.com.
And Randy was meticulous in putting even Corby and Coriander. What was the other one? The Coriander Kitchen. He put all the links out on Twitter. Oh, so if you just do hashtag IT and the D, you'll find all the links.
Well, and we had all the links to the Facebook pages on, on our post today, too. Yeah,
so. But hey, this has been a fun, fun episode 161 of the IT and the D show. I'd like to thank our sponsor. Oh, my God.
Autodesk.
Thank you. It's only been around for 30 years since we've been in IT.
Autodesk. Well, and don't forget, next Thursday, the 15th, we'll be at our Pink Slip Party downtown at the Majestic. And then 10-6, another Thursday, we'll have our podcaster meet up over at Activate.
Oh, my God. Does the fun ever start? On behalf of Bob and Dave, I want to thank you guys for hanging out. Nuri is somewhere. We still don't know where he is. He's somewhere in
– he hasn't sent us any photo updates.
No photos.
So, yeah, which is probably for the best. That way we can't get subpoenaed.
Exactly. But do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy. Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, warn the truth.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet?
No!
Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me. I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.